Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us, for John's health and for baby Sophia, Lord, and all the other good things. Lord, just thank you that you're with us no matter what we go through, Lord, and all the storms, all the trials. Just let me say your words and let it be what you want to be said. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, this morning I wanted to talk about a key person in the Bible who has influenced billions of people over the thousands of years. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 11, to verse 31. Genesis 11, 31. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and which is located on the Euphrates River in southern Iraq. And we don't know a lot about Abram prior to his coming to Canaan, but in Joshua 24:2, it tells us that Terah, Abram's father, worshipped other gods. And so we can probably assume that Abram, you know, was, as part of the family, probably did the same. Now, let's read Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Now, there's nothing to indicate that Abram ever worshiped God or knew God or anything. In fact, the first mention of Abram worshiping God, we won't find until verse 7, which is after Abram gets to the land of Canaan. So God initiated the relationship when he spoke to Abram. And in verse 1, it tells us that the Lord had spoke to Abram. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 4, we're told by Stephen that God appeared to Abram while he was still in Mesopotamia. Keep your finger there in Genesis, but over in Acts 7, 2 to 4, to this Stephen replied, and this is when Stephen was giving his defense before the Sanhedrin, before he was martyred. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. So we see that, you know, God is the one who initiated everything. He started the relationship. And that's the same with God today. We don't find God. God finds us. He reaches out to us, inviting us to know him. Now in Genesis, again, back Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3. Hopefully you kept your fingers there. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is God's promise to Abram at this time. is a sevenfold blessing. One, I will make you into a great nation. Two, I will bless you. Three, I will make your name great. Four, you will be a blessing. Five, I will bless those who bless you. Six, whoever curses you, I will curse. And seven, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now notice that these blessings are given, there's no conditions. It's not, if you do such and such, I will bless you. It's just, I will bless you, period. And this is God, again, taking the first step. And just like with Abram, God reaches out to us. He's offering blessings to us. So what are the blessings that he offers to us? Forgiveness, life, hope, joy, peace, eternal life. And we don't do anything to deserve it. We don't earn it. God offers it freely to us without conditions. Not only do we not deserve it, but actually we deserve condemnation because of the sins that we have done, the wild lives that we have all lived, just like John. You know, we might have done things a little bit differently, but we were all in rebellion against God. But God, rich in mercy, reaches out to us, offering his blessings to us to receive. We don't deserve it, but God offers it. Paul in Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And over in John, 1 John, verses 4, interesting that John and I both wound up, you know, talking with Romans and 1 John and so forth. But 1 John 4, 8 and 9, whoever, oh, excuse me, 9 and 10, sorry. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or as King James would say, he first loved us. Now, as sinners, we are under condemnation because of our sins, deserving eternal separation from God and death. But God, rich in mercy, reached out to us, sending his Son Jesus to die for us, that we could be forgiven and have life and adoption as his children. But God did expect Abram to respond, to go to Canaan to receive these blessings. And in the same way, for us to receive God's blessings, we also must respond by receiving and by believing and receiving Christ as Lord. God calls us out of our old life of sin and death and calls us to come into his promised land of salvation. Abram did not get the blessings while he was back in Ur. He had to go to Canaan in order to get the blessings from God. And in the same way, I can't remain in my old way of life and expect to receive God's blessings. Now, let's consider how God fulfilled these promises to bless Abram. Number one, I will make you a great nation. God bless childless Abram with children and descendants as much as the sand of the seashore and as the stars in the sky. And although it would be 1,000 years later, but again, with God, 1,000 years is as a day. But under David and Solomon, Israel, you know, was controlled a fairly good chunk of the Middle East there from the Euphrates River to the Red Sea. And while later on Israel was conquered and dispossessed because of their sin and the rejection of Christ as the Messiah, in 1948, God resurrected Israel and reestablished it as a nation. And even though Israel is not very large geographically, it has been a prominent part of the world for since 1948. Virtually everyone in the world knows about Israel. Number two, I will bless you. God blessed Abraham by protecting him over and over again. God gave him victory over mighty, stronger armies than him. God gave Abraham children in his old age. Abram means exalted father, which is sort of ironic since he didn't have any kids. But later, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many. And it wasn't just Ishmael and Isaac. In chapter 25 of Genesis, we're told that after Sarah's death, Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah, who bore him six more kids, which is pretty impressive for a guy that was over 140 years old. And he lived to be 175. It's a ripe old age. Now, Abraham also accumulated much flocks and herds of animals, a lot of servants, which in that day and age was what showed you had wealth. Number three, I will make your name great. Abraham's name is revered and honored by millions and millions of his descendants of three religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, all of which consider themselves either the physical or spiritual descendants of Abraham. Number four, I will make you a blessing. Abraham was a blessing to those around him. God blessed and prospered Abraham's nephew Lot in chapter 13. In chapter 14, Abraham rescued his neighbors from a marauding army. Chapter 18, God appeared to Abraham and allowed Abraham to intercede for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, which resulted in the rescue of Lot and his family. God also blessed the land through Abraham by creating wells of water. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout history, over and over again, we have seen that those who have been good to Israel have been blessed. Obviously was Abraham's descendant through promise to Isaac. Egypt was blessed during the famine because of Abraham's great-great-grandson, Joseph. And it's no coincidence that following the United States' recognition of the nation of Israel in 1948 as a nation, the United States had enjoyed for over 20 years great economic and financial prosperity. Number six, whoever curses you, I will curse. The nations that attacked and conquered Israel were all subsequently destroyed. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And throughout history, God's punished many nations that have persecuted the Jewish people. Spain with its Inquisition, Russia and Poland with their pogroms. And while, now Germany has recovered, but following the Holocaust, Germany was totally devastated and destroyed, occupied, and controlled for 40 years by the Allied nations. Over and over again, Arab nations that had greater armies, greater equipment and weapons have come against Israel and been defeated. Number seven, all the peoples on earth will be blessed in you. Now, throughout the centuries, the world has been blessed by the inventions, discoveries, work, and contributions of countless Jewish men and women. Many artists, inventors, thinkers, and celebrities are or were Jewish, including Nobel Peace Award winners, scholars, and musicians. There have been 36 Jewish Nobel laureates, including Albert Einstein. Names such as Steven Spielberg, Mark Zuckerberg, Irving Berlin, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk was the one who invented the polio vaccine, a vaccine that actually prevented disease, as opposed to others. Bob Dylan, Ukraine's President Zelensky. You know, many inventions, such as economical desalinization systems that provided for changing salt water into fresh water, drip irrigation systems that has turned the deserts into abundant fruitful orchards, vineyards, and gardens. Israel's Iron Dome makes our Patriot missile system look weak. And Israeli bandages take and applied to a wound can stop, you know, massive blood loss very quickly. And these are just a few of the many inventions created by Jewish men and women. And realize that the percentage of Jewish people is fairly small considering the world's population. So their influence and their blessings far outweigh what would be proportional. But ultimately, the true blessing for the world through Abraham was his descendant, Jesus, the Messiah, by whom and through whom we have salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, joy, hope, freedom, light, peace, truth, everything. Jesus is the true and absolute blessing that transcends everything else in all creation. So, let's go back to Genesis 12. We'll read verses 4 to 9. So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills of east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Excuse me. Steve said, you know, I was going to be short today, and I told him it's probably going to be longer. So that might be the reason why he left. I don't know. Okay. Here in the verses 4 through 9, we see that Abram didn't always listen very well, sort of like you and me. God had told Abram in Ur to leave his family and go to Canaan, but Abram only went halfway to Haran. Back in verse 31, you know, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they got to Haran, they settled there. Now, maybe Haran looked like Ur of Chaldees, or maybe it was just a town as opposed to unknown, you know, Canaan, which was just wilderness. But instead of totally obeying God, Abram sort of obeyed God. And so often God tells us to do something or not to do something, and we obey him sort of. We do it halfway. And like Abram, we settle part way. Perhaps God tells us to stop drinking, and so we don't drink as much. Or God tells us to stop smoking, and we don't smoke as much. Or maybe God tells us to, not to watch certain stuff on the internet, and so we avoid the hard pornography, but we still are, looking at the swimsuit issues. Or maybe God tells us to go to our neighbor and tell them about Jesus. And so we go to our neighbor and be friends, but we never get around to telling them about Christ, his influence in our life. So what has God been telling you to do? Have you done it completely? Or like Abram, have you sort of gone halfway and settled in Haran? Maybe now is the time, like Abram, in verse 4, to get up and go all the way to Canaan, follow him all the way. So Abram finally gets to Canaan, but again, he doesn't really follow the instructions. God told Abram to leave his father's household behind, but instead he brings his nephew Lot with him. And we won't get into it, today, but later on in Genesis, we will see that Abraham got into a lot of trouble by bringing his son Lot with him. And not just then, but Lot's descendants were the Ammonites and the Moabites, who attacked Israel repeatedly. Now, God gives us instructions and commands not to burden us, but to save us from trouble and to help us. There a few weeks ago, Brandon talked about how God gives us commands as our loving Father, and he gives us the commands for our good. And, we fail to obey God, and we only hurt ourselves. For instance, although in Proverbs chapter 6 and 17, it says very clearly, don't co-sign loans for others. Well, twice, what can I say? I'm a slow learner. Twice, I made the exception of co-signing loans for someone else, and both times, they didn't pay, and I wound up paying it. So we see, just as Brandon so aptly taught us, that God's commands are the loving Father wanting the best for us, wanting to help us, not to deprive us. So, verse 7, we finally find the first reference to Abram calling on the Lord and building an altar to God. So again, we see it was God initiating everything. And again, God is working in us. God is the one who starts it. As John wrote, we love because he first loved us. So we see that God is faithful. What he promises, he delivers. Now I have a little book here, Bible Promises for You. And it just says some of the many promises that God has for us. So, for instance, Jesus said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Romans 8:1-2, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus said, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. John 16:24. So these are a few of the promises. But if you want a complete and total listing of all God's promises, it's found in this book. Now, God does everything in his own time and his own way. And when we don't immediately see the fulfillment of his promises, it's easy for us to get discouraged and to think God's forgotten. But God never forgets. If I made a promise to you 4 days ago, I might forget. But God made promises 4,000 years ago, and for God, that's like 4 days ago, and he never forgets. So, what is it that you need? What's troubling you? What's stealing your sleep? A health problem? Financial issue? A relationship conflict? A seemingly impossible decision to make? For each and every situation, Jesus is the answer. For each and every situation, Jesus is the answer. His promises are for you. Search his word. Find his promises and start holding on to them. If you're old school, write them down on a little index card and pull it out every so often. If you're like Jesse or whatever, put it in your phone and just click on it and come on. Review it multiple times a day. Keep reminding God of his promise. He doesn't need reminding, but I need reminding that he's promised. And by God invites me to remind him so that I remember. God will answer, and he will make a way. May not be the way I think it will be, may not be the way I want it to be, but it will be the best way. It may not come today, might not come tomorrow, but it will come at the best time. Trust God. I'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Yet Abraham did not waver through unbelief. Oh, thank you, Reggie. Now, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And then go over to chapter 8, verse 31, 32. Romans 8, 31, 32. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, for you all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God gave his only son, so why would he withhold anything that you need? So trust God, find and hold on to his promises. God is faithful, and he will provide all you need according to his riches and glory. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are the God of the promises, that you have made and that you will fulfill, and that you will do all things that we need, that we can know you and love you. We thank you that you reached out to us, that you loved us first, and we love you in response to that. Father God, I just ask you to help us to lay hold of your promises and to live a life that brings glory and honor to you. Guide and direct us in your truth. Help us through this week to love you and to follow you and to serve you in all that we do. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.